Right.
All right, it is 6:01. We will go ahead and call our Monday, February 6th business meeting to order. If everybody can stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we have the invocation. Pastor Colburn, thank you.
Thank you all for having me come tonight. And I want to say thank you to each one of you that are here tonight and for our police force, for what they do in Pendleford. And if you would bow your heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to live in a small town called Fettlesburg. We thank you for allowing us each to be proud of our town. We are proud of everyone who is involved with our town. And so we pray, Lord, for guidance, direction, and wisdom as they go about doing the business of Fettlesburg for us. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the approval of the minutes. The minutes were distributed. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
No, I didn't see them.
No. Okay, then I'll take a motion to approve the minutes as distributed.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as distributed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, so we are waiting for one of our people to arrive. The other one, if he arrives, then we've got something else special going on. So tonight we are doing the first meeting of the month for our bicentennial year. We are doing bicentennial honorees. So we have 12 all-stars. One are from the community, and then one is historical, and we are recognizing one person each month. So our historical figure for February is Blakely Ernest Pinkins. Mr. Pinkins was born January 7th, 1933, and he lived his first 3 years in Brooklyn on the outskirts of Fettlesburg, and then he was raised on Laurel Grove Road. He graduated from Lockerman High School in Denton, Maryland, with the class of 1949. He enrolled at Bowie State College, which is now known as Bowie State University, majoring in elementary education. He and his wife, Cora, applied to the University of Maryland for their master's degree program, but was denied. He was determined to get further education, and they applied to move to Indiana, where they received a master's degree in education from Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. Blakely served in the capacity of a teacher, assistant principal, and principal in Caroline County Public Schools for many years. He retired as assistant principal at Colonel Richardson Middle School. He was a valued member of the community, and he was involved in numerous civic and community activities. The Board of Directors for Caroline County Habitat for Humanity, the Board of Directors for the Fettlesburg Historical Society. He was an escort for the Easton Memorial Hospital Auxiliary, a member of the Caroline Retired School Personnel, and a member of the American Legion. Mr. Blakely passed away on November 5th, 2010. We thank him for all of his contributions to the kids that went through all the schools in Caroline County.
He's on his way.
So our community honoree, who we are waiting for, is our community member is David Ricks. So David was born in Easton and moved to Fettlesburg. He's lived here for 60 years. He's married to his wife for 39 years. They have 3 children and 17 grandchildren, which is why he's late, because he has his grandchildren. Until his retirement in 2022, David worked at Maryland Plastics for 28 years. He has been part of the Men for Change organizations for 15 years, where his favorite part is helping change young people's lives. He truly enjoys putting a smile on people's faces. When asked what you love most about our community, he said that he loves lots of good people doing good work. David defined success for the Men for Change program as keeping the kids off drugs, out of the criminal justice system, and preventing teen pregnancy. He is inspired by his mother and considers his brothers, Dennis and Stanford, to be his mentors. We would like to thank David for being such a valued community member, for all that he has done and continues to do to make Fettlesburg a better place to live, work, and play. So congratulations, David, on being our February 2023 Bicentennial Community All-Star. And I have a little award for him when he gets here to take a picture. Okay, next we have public comment. If you would like to make a comment, you can step up to the podium, state your name and your address for the record.
Good evening. My name is Gary Dave Jr. And last time I didn't speak about the districting, and I look on this and I felt like I should have spoke out. I just think the districting idea is a bad idea to divide the town in two. I understand why people want it, and I feel like one of the things that was brought up was cumulative voting, and I think that would be a better option. And I noticed that wasn't any of the options on this update. So I don't know if that off the table. Am I allowed to ask cumulative voting?
So we've been looking at other options. We will be having a public hearing on all of these for people to weigh in on their thoughts on each of these particular items that are listed on the thing here. So once it gets posted for public comment, then you can come to the hearing
Okay. And
actually weigh in on the hearing.
Okay. I'm just the reason I just feel like dividing the town into two is a bad idea, and especially if you're going to do it by race. I mean, I just don't agree with that. And I understand that you want representation throughout the community, and I think cumulative voting may be the best option to do that.
Okay.
Right,
thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Meeting that was held, and either some of the things that were mentioned were omitted from this that we just got tonight. The two district voting structure. Nobody wanted the four. A couple hands went up for the two district, but they left out one important district, and that's leave it like it is. And the consensus that I got at the last meeting was that the major problem that the whole town has, all of us have, is people are not getting out to vote and register. So I'm kind of suggesting here to take a hard look at it, and we'll make a drive somehow with the county and all to get people registered. And so it will make it fair for everybody. I mean, from what I've seen there. You talked about the terms of office of the mayor and councilman. You want to move the mayor, what, back to 2 years?
It's 2 years now, it would move to four. It's 2 years now, it would move to four.
It's two now.
Yes.
Yeah, and four, I was going to say four. Two is not enough, having been there and done that. You need 4 years to learn a system and to get the help needed where it's supposed to be. And let's see. take time. You can't do it overnight. You can't do it overnight. So just keep that in mind that I really feel that don't like the two district idea, but one, and make an effort on all of our parts to get people out to vote, to register and vote. That was the consensus. Okay.
Anyone else? All right, if we don't have any more public comment, next we have the CASA Caroline presentation. Ms. Warren, you can step up to the microphone.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's wonky. Yes,
it's wonky.
It's not you.
Sorry. I don't like a break in things. It's my first time here in front of the town council. Let me destroy your space here. Madam Mayor, Mr. President, town council, thank you so much for having me and putting me on your agenda. I am here. First of all, I've been with CASA Caroline for 4 years, and this is my first time actually being here. So thank you very much for giving me this time and this opportunity. I'm here to talk about our campaign, but for those who don't know, CASA of Caroline, it stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates. We recruit and train volunteers who advocate for children who have experienced abuse and or neglect and are in the foster care system. And I actually have spoken with the Riggs brothers from Men for Change, and they do some great work. We're kind of aligned. But I wanted to talk to you about our signature campaign, which is Pinwheels for Prevention, during the month of April. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and a couple of years ago, we started doing a Pinwheels for Prevention campaign that has really grown, and we want to continue growing that campaign. It is really, the pinwheel was chosen as, sorry, I'm going to pull this up. The pinwheel was chosen as the national symbol for child abuse awareness and prevention. It represents the carefree, happy childhood that all kids deserve. And the blue, unfortunately, represents the color of bruises. And so what we do is we encourage folks to create pinwheel displays. And you'll actually see them all over the shore. But here in Caroline County, we've really been ramping it up. And last year, we had about 24 displays around the county. So I'm here. I've got this little one-pager sheet that I did up. And it has basically everything that we are asking folks to do to support our efforts in this campaign. One is, and this is a fun thing we do, we create a Pass the Pinwheel video. And so, and I can share the instructions. I've also got them on here. And to view the one we did last year, it's on our website, carolinecasa.org. But the Pass the Pinwheel video, we had folks from right here. We had actually some Colonel Richardson High students in our video. We had Senator Cardin, Senator Van Hollen. We had, you know, local officials. It's very impactful, and it was shown at the Maryland CASA Spring Conference as well. So if the town council would like to get together and create a video, that would be awesome. Another thing is we are doing a statewide Wear Blue Day on April 5th, Wednesday, April 5th. So we're encouraging everyone to wear blue to raise awareness of child abuse and its prevention. That is also the day we're doing our community-wide pinwheel planting, which we're doing in the Denton Community Garden. That's where we've done it the last couple of years. But in addition to that, right after the pinwheel planting ceremony, we're inviting folks to come over to the Foundry, the Arts Council. One of the components of this campaign is we've gotten CCPS students to color pinwheels to fill our office windows. The first year I measured our windows and I set the goal at 250, and we received 265. So last year I set the goal at 275. We got over 500 of them. So we partnered with the Arts Council to actually turn it into an exhibit. And so folks can come see this, you know, exhibit. And I'll tell you, I mean, we get them from the first year, most of them were colored digitally. Last year, most of them were colored by hand. And they're from kindergartners up through high school. And it's just a really cool thing to see that kids are doing this. The pinwheel planting ceremony, we've got the council thing. And then finally, if the town of Federalsburg would be interested in sponsoring our campaign and supporting us financially, and then we provide materials for you to create your own pinwheel display. I'm sorry, I did leave off two things. We would also love it if the town would do a proclamation for us in acknowledgement of April being Child Abuse Prevention Month. And I don't know if you, if here in Federalsburg, if y'all light up for different awareness months, but for places that do, we're encouraging them to light up blue. So that's the nuts and bolts of our campaign. And I'm happy to leave. I'll leave you with one of these that just kind of reviews all of those things that I just mentioned.
Can individuals contribute?
Absolutely. No. It's only towns. Absolutely. And our the sponsorship form is in the Caroline Review right now.
Okay.
So, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, can I leave you with one of these?
Yes, that would be great. Okay. Thank you so much.
Great.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. You'll hear this all again on Thursday. Okay. Did anyone have any questions? Or if you do, please reach out to me. As I look around this room and I'm seeing, like, Federalsburg is a very politically active community. As I look around the room and see some familiar faces here, and so, yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have our election reform update. So on everybody's seat, there is a sheet from what was discussed at the previous meeting that we had. And if you don't have a copy, there are extra copies on the table that we can pass you. And there's some on the extra seats up here as well. So on Monday, January 23rd, the town held a special meeting on election reform, including charter amendments and proposed districts. The purpose of the meeting was for a full and honest discussion about what was being asked of us, and to have it with the residents and the stakeholders that were in attendance. Mayor and council were presented with a problem. We were looking for our best way to solve the problem where there is equal representation for all residents of the town of Federalsburg. From that meeting, the update to the town is proposing the following. The charter amendment to establish a two-district voting structure, charter amendment to set a four-term of office for the mayor, charter amendment to align the municipal election day with even-numbered year November election days set for state and federal elections, charter amendment to change the candidate residency requirement from both town and district from 3 year to 1 year, charter amendment to set the next municipal election to align with the state and federal election day on November 2024, charter amendment to establish municipal representation as a two council member district, two at-large member district positions, and a one at-large mayor. Maintain the current staggered terms for two council members, and review the proposed two district map footprints to consider locating centrist blocks, which is in the map that is posted online. We are trying to work out the map. We recognize the importance of the ongoing work to ensure democratic participation through voting, and we also want to partner with the organizations for voter outreach and registration. So this was what was presented. On each of these charter amendments, there will be a public hearing that you can come actually speak at the public hearing to make comments on those charter amendments, to have your voice heard. So do you guys have anything else? Are we good with that? Do you guys have any other questions from what was presented? And the copy of the map is online. So, Dr. Wood?
You were saying you're going to reserve comment until later?
So we had public comment earlier, but I know you came in late. But, I mean, so for each one of these charter amendments, there will be a public hearing for the date. So it'll be introduced, and then the public hearing will be scheduled for each of these amendments. Next, we have a strategic planning priority setting session update. Town Manager Drake.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, members of the council, the Mayor and Council met a year ago in the 14 inches of the snow on the 29th of November 2022 to hold the first strategic planning session. So that information is also posted in the agenda package. What came out of it also was the annual report. So if you're interested in knowing what was accomplished in the town of Bedford by the different departments, including our capital expenditures and ARPA, that's in the 2021 annual report, which is still posted online. The 2022 annual report was discussed yesterday by way of review, so that will be presented to the mayor and council on the 21st. Next meeting is Tuesday the 21st, not Monday the 20th, because President's Day, so I'm meeting on Tuesday the 21st, and that report will be presented to the mayor and council. At that point, probably the first week in March, it'll be presented on the town website. So, yesterday's strategic planning and priority setting workshop, first thing mayor and council did along with staff was to review the January 29th, 2022 strategic plan and the 2022 draft annual report. We discussed finances and capital projects. A list of capital projects and cost estimates was provided. All that can be found on the town website. There was a discussion of the town's outstanding debt obligations and that relationship to spending on operations. The town contracted with a public finance firm, Davenport Company, to develop a comprehensive financial report for the town, which was presented at the January 17th, 2023 Mayor and Council workshop. That's also on the town website, and that report basically serves as a base document as we do our online budget, as we do our ongoing budget preparations in the fiscal year. We also discussed staffing assignments and level of services for operations. A good deal of attention was attention to Public Works. There was a discussion of developing an annual good neighbor message through a variety of platforms centered around code enforcement, property maintenance, and staying informed on town activities. That would be launched, again, on a number of platforms in the spring. And then there was a discussion of communication, social media, and community engagement on a large level with a direction to expand and update our resident notification system, which is a bit dated, but you probably may already be registered for it. There was also a general consensus that the town's social media presence is good and a priority needs to be to continue efforts to reach people in a non-digital form of communication, which at this point is a monthly column that appears in the Caroline Review. So we're working on the non-digital form of communication as well. Those were the highlights of a 2-hour and 45-minute discussion of a number of things.
Thank you. Anybody have anything else to add to that? Pretty good recap. Thank you. Okay, next we have the extra solar panel purchase.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, the solar panel project was concluded in 2024, 2021 now, and the revenue meter was put in on November 24th, 2021. So during construction of the project, a surplus number of panels was ordered to allow for breakage, inoperable panels, things like that. So there are 19 surplus panels that have been on site since the project started and actually concluded in 2021. Now those panels are currently owned still by the contractor and would serve as surplus for when inevitable the current solar panels cease to be functional or suffer damage. So there's the current owner, who's the contractor, is asking for $4,601.25 for the 19 surplus panels and also for a storage shed. A copy of the invoice is attached. The staff is recommending the purchase of the surplus panels for the price requested.
I'm assuming the shed is going to go up there in the field where they're already hooked up.
Correct.
For protecting
the panels are at the far end of the solar field and just sitting out there. So they need to be brought in some measure of
protection.
Correct. And it's a relatively small shed. I believe the price on the shed was $180.
Okay. I mean, I don't have any problem with it. We can use them in case something happens to them, and we have possession of them anyway.
They're just sitting there now. Do they all work?
Don't know that.
They're all brand new. They've never been hooked up, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, man, I don't have a problem with that. And the shed's not there. That's something they're going to build?
Correct. On site, right?
Yeah.
You guys, Councilman Windsor?
No, yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm good.
Okay. We'll take a motion that they can move forward with purchasing.
Make a motion they move forward with the shed for the extra solar panel.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. It's good to get them secured and put away. All right, next we have the AMI water meter upgrade project update.
Mayor, members of council, at the September 20th, 2021 meeting, the town solicited requests for qualifications, qualified firms to move forward with a remote read water meter system. So this gets the town staff out of having to go house by house and tap the water meters. It's a remote read, and a system we put out an RFQ for that. Mayor and council held interviews with three qualified firms. They requested cost proposals, and of those, Ferguson Waterworks, along with Danger Meters, was awarded the contract, and that was at the June 6, 2022 meeting. So since that time, the contractors have worked with the town to move forward on this project, which is funded all by money in the bank that we've got from the American Rescue Plan, so that's ARPA money, and the cost is $717,000 to replace all the water meters in town. Many of the meters are 10 years or older, and the life on these meters is about 12 to 15 years. So it's a one-time capital investment to change everything out of money we already have in the bank and money that we actually have to spend before December 31st, 2024. So since that date, the contractors have done some preliminary work, including ordering the meters and some other materials which have been sitting at the Public Works Building. They've also worked with the admin finance staff to begin to pull some preliminary data from our utility billing software system. So the project kickoff meeting was scheduled for this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and we had it right here in this very room, so I'll give an update on that that didn't make this report. They're going to start with changing out the water meters with town reading book number one, so that's on the east side of town. There'll be a handful of meters changed tomorrow and Wednesday, and the reason it's a handful is they have to get a set to start testing the data. So they'll put in, as they said, a handful of meters tomorrow and Wednesday. And that data, which is to say how much water is passing through the meter, is going to be tested for validity and then also transfer that data digitally over to our utility billing system to see if there's any bugs in that system or if that system works before they move forward installing any more meters. The town will have notice before the customer portal goes live. So there's going to be a customer portal. If you want to know what's happening with the water meter, you can go online, check your smartphone, and find out right there, because every customer is going to be able to check their own water meter. And you can do that in live time. You know today if you had a leak yesterday, see if your water usage is higher than it used to be. So that gets us out of having to call the town staff in to come and read your meters. The new meters will be transmitting information about four times an hour. Right now we take meter readings four times a year. So it's a decidedly more rational and efficient way of doing this. The entire installation around town is likely to take 6 weeks. The contractors will have a marked truck, and they may work on Saturdays, starting from 7:30 and ended in the morning and ending at 4:30 in the afternoon. Here's how the communication is going to work. Every Sunday, the Ferguson project manager will send us project staff report by email. There will also be a weekly project update meeting with the contractors and town staff. Those are going to be on Monday afternoons here in Town Hall. And as was said, this is a real-world installation, so we can in February, so we can expect weather delays. We can expect also delays potentially individual water pits, which may have water in them and need to be pumped out, which may have sand that needs to be dug out, certain roofs can be changed out, and project communications will not be limited only to those scheduled meetings. So as things happen, it'll be updated. We'll get the information out on the website and also on the social media. So, again, if you're digital, you'll be able to follow along. If you're not digital, we'll probably put out door hangers to let folks know when things are happening, and then we'll also continue to post monthly in the Caroline Review. So that's all we'll be doing, the water meter update project.
Yep.
Can I ask a question about that? Is there going to be any significant change in the cost of our water bills? They're already expensive.
System-wide, you've been losing just under 19% of all water, which is to say 81% of all the water that we produce winds up the water bill. So that's either unmetered, and there are places that are unmetered, or that's line loss. Or some of it's lost the meter because of the old and inefficient meters, and some of it's lost in transmission along the transmission line somewhere where this just leaks. So on an individual basis, if you've got a meter that hasn't been reading accurately lately, you're going to see a meter that's reading accurately, which means you're going to see more water usage, which is going to translate into a higher bill. Now the upside is you'll know that in real time, so there's not going to be the shock, you know, every 3 months by getting a water bill. You'll be able to see. So people call here all the time, do I have a leak? Well, you should know that on a day-to-day basis, which is also going to keep your bills down. So there's pluses and minuses to it, but the idea is we go from meters that are now, arguably 80-some percent efficient to meters that are going to be 98.5% efficient. So that's going to catch more water. And what we've been, what the contractors have told us is to expect those first two billing cycles probably to be a shock to people. But after that, you're going to reconcile how much you're using with how much you're getting billed. So again, on an individual basis, if folks have had an old meter, you've been using more than getting billed for anyway. And remember, there's a substantial amount of debt service that any utility bill in Federalsburg carries a lot of debt service. Or paying off debt as well. So it's not just usage, it's other things that are also added to that. So
what the cost of this is going to be a piece of this being maintained by this company, outside company. Is going to be added into our utility bill as well?
No. This is paid for. This whole process is paid for out of money we've got in the bank through the federal American Rescue Money. Town got $2.6 million. $1 million of that's going for streets, and that's going to happen once they can start digging and pouring asphalt. $717,000 of that money is this project. This isn't costing anybody anything right now. But again, if we've had an inefficient meter, you're going to have an efficient meter, and that's just going to translate into a higher read. Again, upside is you think you got a leak, and you see something that doesn't make sense to you. Why did I use 600 gallons of water yesterday? You won't know that only,
How user-friendly is this? I mean, I'm IT tech savvy, I don't understand water readings and all of that stuff to know.
That's yet to come. They said they'd let us know about 2 weeks before the portal goes live. And one of the things I asked for specifically is change up my water meter tomorrow. This way, I'm one of the first tests, and I can see the data and see how hard it is to operate. Supposedly, again, two ways of doing it. You can go to the portal online with your account number or your address, and you're going to be able to pull up your data. Or you're going to have the app on your phone to be able to track in live time. So again, this is helpful for everybody who can do that. If you can't do that, staff's still here to answer questions. I mean, we're not going to close the shop. The staff being able to call and say, can you check my water meter? We can still do that right here and off.
So there's going to be a tutorial to show us how to read the app and what we're looking at?
There's a whole bunch of, there's pages of data on this stuff and like public information that really nobody's ready. We're going to start getting it out. There's no point in getting it out too soon when people aren't paying attention. So we're going to get it out, roll it out closer as the changeouts are happening. Again, none of this is really going to go live for everybody until the last water meter is in. So they said 6 weeks.
Last question.
Yeah.
Will you guys give us notification of when our meters are going to be switched out so that the shock factor doesn't shock me to the hospital?
I don't know when that's going to happen. I mean, we've got a route because it's the meter book route.
We can give you an approximate time because we work off of, they work off of the book. So we can give you an approximate time that this street and this block is going in the next week, right? So within the next week, you'll see a truck in front of your house. They will, I'm assuming they will have to turn the water off to swap the meter out and then turn your water back on. So it'll be a brief outage at that time for half an hour or so, however long it takes to install.
That's fair to prepare.
But we also, you know, want to be able to use this opportunity for bill awareness as to why the bills are what they are because of the debt service on the wastewater treatment plant. So the water treatment plant, the water and sewer fund has to be self-sufficient. Right, it can't make money. We don't make any money off of it, and actually, we are losing money off of it. And we are taking money from our general fund that we could be using to pave roads to cover the water and sewer debt. We pull lots of money out of the general fund. So we had a the last session we had a presentation from the contractors that we hired to look at our debt. The town has $5.5 million in debt. Part of that is what was done, and it had to be done for the wastewater treatment plant. We didn't have any choice with some of this debt. We had to do it because the system was failing. So as we start to pay off debt, we can also look at fixing some of that to fix the bills. But this is a time for us to also look and say, this is why, I mean, I would love to have a lower water bill, but I can tell you I now will be checking, like, how much is it worth me watering my plants or not, right? Or do I leave it up to somebody else to water my plants?
Mayor Abner, I understand. I work every day, and I get everything that sounds good. I get what you're getting at, and I think it's a good thing and all, but my concern is for elderly people. There's several elderly people that live in Fredericksburg, and the resources are limited to who can get help with their water bills and such of that matter. So if this is going to be a shock factor to me, someone who goes to work and lives in a house with extra incomes, what's to say about someone who lives by themselves and is on a fixed income that's going to get this shock factor? What's going to happen to them in their world?
Well, and for some of those, we can also, the town did sign up for the water, I think there was funding for, I forget what the name it was, but it was a water assistance program. We signed the document, we turned it in, so our residents can actually apply for water assistance to help their utility bill for water get paid. And we can certainly advertise that or maybe put, you know, as we're working on, you know, the app and the notification, we can put the link that says for assistance with paying your water bill, you know, the town signed up to help our residents out with this. And maybe that's a resource that we can, you know, add on with that educational as part of the educational package.
Absolutely. Or even send it out with the water bills mm-hmm. going up currently so people know, because I didn't even know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't had any, maybe a half dozen. We haven't had many people participate, but if they need help, it's there.
Right.
Larry, do we know how long it takes to change your meter?
I don't. They had some examples today of the line should be horizontal. Sometimes it goes in a 90-degree angle. So that's got to get straightened out first. There are water meters there are pits that have water in them that suddenly have to be pumped out. We talked about the hand pump and such today. And there are other meter pits that are going to have to dig out sand. So, you know, maybe somebody's meter comes out quickly and somebody else's meter takes some more time.
I got sand in mine. Okay.
So on an individual basis, you guys are going to have to do what they're going to have to do.
So are as they replace, is there like a grid or is there working through, so we can track their progress, but if we know where there's like sand in a pit or water in a pit to see if there's something else structurally that needs to be reviewed, not just put a new one in and then roll out and there's, you know, you come back a month later and it's full of water.
Yeah, Sean and Sean McGee and Keith Wheatley from our crew are going to be, you know, I don't want to say shadowing, but they're going to be available.
Okay.
And they're going to be resourced to the contractors.
And they're going to be weekly progress updates with us, too, with all of us.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That was part of the communications plan. The thing about uploading the data, when the meter is set, it has to make sure that it's the system is called Beacon. So it has to make sure that their Beacon is talking to our utility billing software, which is called QZ. Just know that those are players. So every night, the data from the meters that have been changed out that day are going to get uploaded from Beacon into QZ. So on an individual basis, if you want to know, hey, was my meter uploaded yet? We'll have the account number. And it should take maybe 24 hours, maybe a little bit longer. They have to validate the data. First, they have to make sure the data is valid, and then everything transferred. And then not only transferred successfully to our QSI, which is our utility billing software, but then actually registers. And I don't know how, they're simply going to download those maybe once a week.
Once a week.
So that might be 100 meters or so downloaded once a week, just the information. Because it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be, you know, beaming data every 15 minutes.
Okay.
Usage data.
I would say, just to make sure there's no misunderstanding, we are not raising any rates on this. The only reason your bill is going to go up is because the meter is now more efficient. So where water was slipping by, it's not going to slip by anymore. So you're actually going to pay for the amount of water you've been using all along. The old meters just haven't been catching it. So we didn't approve any type of rate hike or anything like that. It's just that they're more efficient and would be more reliable on how much you're actually using. Right now, the town is treating 10% of the water that we pay for employees to treat with chemicals, 10, 15, whatever that thing is, going down the tube that we're not getting any money back on. This is just helping us recoup money we're already spending to treat water. So I just want everybody to make sure y'all understood it's not a rate hike. It's just because we're getting more efficient. Unfortunately, the byproduct of that is going to be your bill would most likely go up, depending upon when your meter was put in. If you have one replaced in the last 6 months for some reason, you may not see a difference. Me, who haven't had one replaced, as far as I know, in 20 years, probably going to see a nice difference when my bill comes. But so just wanted to make sure everybody understood that.
With using ARPA funds to do this, where the mayor says that the town is $5.5 million in debt right this second, and the town manager says that our meters are probably on aggregate 10 years old on a lifespan of 12. By using this money that we have access to now to do it, we're doing it without a raise in taxes, a raise in rates, or taking out more debt to pay for something we'd eventually have to do in 2, 3, 4 years. There is a positive there. We're able to use somebody else's money to do that, and not take out $750,000 more debt on top of the $5.5 million we've already got.
And to freeze up Public Works 3 months out of the year from reading meters.
Exactly. To go out and do other things that we all want them to do, to make our town look nicer, to fix potholes, to all sorts of the things that we talk about that we don't see getting done all the time because behind the scenes they're doing other things.
I guess have any other comments? Mm-hmm. All right. Next, we have the potential sale of the cell tower lease. Town Manager DeRay?
Madam Mayor, members of the council, the town has a cell tower lease with AT&T, and the monthly, or the annual rent on that is $15,165. The industrial park road water tank actually. The cell tower lease actually has market value. There were companies out there that purchased the rental rights or the lease rights on the cell tower. So the town's been approached by these firms in the past with the idea that they would purchase the sales the rental rights from the town for the cell tower. To put this in a little bit of perspective, under the current tax rate, 1 penny of property tax generates about $15,600, and we pay 88 cents on the dollar for real property tax. So the annual rent was less in value than 1 penny of property tax, whereas the sale of the lease is one-time revenue. And it's really market determined. When we had inquiry over the summer, we were receiving quotes in excess of $275,000. So that's basically 18 and a half years of revenue that the town could receive at the upfront compared to the $15,165. sale of the lease would not involve the loss of ownership. It doesn't involve access to or maintenance of a water tank. There's no transfer of real property rights. Instead, it just gives, it conveys the right of the new owner to extend rental agreements to other parties and also to set and collect rent. So basically, the cell tower lease would just be given to the landlord, who can find new tenants and raise their rent, whereas the town would walk away with a one-time cash payment. And as pointed out in last summer, that was $275,000 and a little bit up from depending on the firm. So staff is asking that the mayor and council approve or direct staff to bring an RFP to mayor and council at the next meeting for review to post public bid for qualified firms to purchase the cell tower rental right lease on the town water tank.
Any discussion?
Yeah, just to clarify, 2 years from now, cell phones go the way of the house phone or whatever. There's no coming back on us at that point, right? This money's ours no matter what, how long they can actually lease that property.
Correct. They could double the rent, or they could, technology
could change and they're out. Okay. As long as they can't come back.
Any other discussion?
I'm good with it.
All right, so we'll go ahead and do the RFP, and then we'll review that and do a motion to go ahead and advertise it. All righty. Next, we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor?
Oh, nothing at this time.
Councilwoman Sewell?
Just briefly, Mayor Abner and I had the pleasure of attending the ESAM legislative dinner last Tuesday up in Kent Island, where we really did get to network. We spoke with Senator Mounts, Delegates Greist and Adams, the Maryland Municipal League's new CEO, Teresa Coons, and I might add, Delegate Adams is the current chair of the Eastern Shore House delegation, and we got to talk about Federalsburg and our projects and our needs and our wants, and so they are very aware of what's going on here and are very eager to help us as much as they can. So that was a great evening. And that's it.
Thank you. Councilman Phillips?
Nothing this time.
Councilman Willoughby?
Nothing this
time. The only thing I have is just a reminder, we are in our bicentennial year. March 4th is the sturgeon unveiling. For those of you that don't know, we have 13 fiberglass sturgeon that have been commissioned by different, the town purchased one, and then businesses purchased the remaining ones. They will be painted and put on display on March 4th. We will also be doing a digital family-friendly scavenger hunt around the town of Federalsburg. The things around Federalsburg will have point values assessed to them, so we want groups to take pictures, post them with social media, and then turn in their pictures and be entered into prizes. And that is on March 4th at the Historical Society from 11 to 2. And then May 20th is our big festival. We are working on sponsors from the area businesses to make this a free family event. There will be a parade, rides, vendors, food, and we now have a sponsor for fireworks, so the town will have fireworks on the night of May 20th to help us celebrate our birthday. So all of that information we are posting on Facebook and other social media, and we are getting it out through the Caroline Review as means to help catch our non-digital citizens.
And if I can add, those are both free events to the community.
Yes, yes, so they are. So thank you. Mm-hmm. And if we can have Mr. Ricks to take a picture.
We celebrated you.
I know we celebrated you.
You always running late.
That's all right.
Your brother said.
Yeah, we'll have to take a picture. You're good. No, you guys are good. Everybody's got to take the picture.
Oh.
Yes. I know. Hide behind.
You guys get it. I don't. I don't want to
want to take your light away. This is a council thing. You know, I don't want to outshine.
Thank you for all that you do for the community. We appreciate you and all that you've done to help the kids, to help the community, and all the work that you've done for Men for Change, continue to do, and all the work that you're doing on the Activity Center. So you truly are appreciated, and we're very grateful that you're a valued member of our community. So thank you. All right, so next we have, there is a request for an executive session for legal advice. So if we can have a motion to go into executive session.
I'll make a motion that we enter executive session for legal advice.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. All righty. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Madam Mayor, I got a question.
Yes.
I heard Gary said he wanted to say something at the last meeting and didn't say it. I wanted to say it. I wanted to say 3 minutes on election reform. I don't know if I can say it now or not, but I wanted to say something. I was kind of nervous and my stomach was churning. I just want to know if I could get just 3 minutes. I don't have to. Was it?
Yeah. No, you can. Go ahead.
My name is Reverend Jeffrey Butler, 317 Brooklyn Avenue. You know, when I was a young man, my father owned a tavern back in Brooklyn Avenue. And all sorts of people came, white, black, rich, poor, and that's what they taught us. Don't matter about the color of a person's skin, but the contents of their character. You treat everybody how you want to be treated. And then I remember when I would come uptown to the restaurant. But I couldn't go in the front. I had to go in on the side in order to buy something. And I think at that time, I don't know what the percentage of minorities were in Fells, but I'm not sure. I don't know what it was. But it wasn't nowhere close to 50 like it is now. The community of Fellsburg had like 50% almost white and 50% minorities. And the two district system, what we were trying to do is to change it, make sure that the mayor and council represented the town of Fellsburg. We're not all white, we're not all black, but it's about half and half. And that's why we was trying to get to the two districts. So understand that we got to get people out to vote. That would make a big change too. But also the two district voting system, I feel, would really help a lot in letting the mayor and council be what the city of Fellsburg is. And I only been here about almost 70 years.
Was that Big Four?
That was Big Four.
Been there. Been there.
You found back that.
All right, thank you. All right, so we're going into executive session. Thank you all for coming. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
It's nice to see people in the chairs. Yep.